Keith has the words printed in the back for me to read this morning. I'll be reading two scriptures. The first is from Luke chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, and then I'll follow it up with Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 24. At the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, John the Baptist invited people to prepare for the arrival of Jesus. "What should we do?" the crowd asked in response. John answered, "The person with two coats should share with the person that has none. And the one that has food to spare should also do the same. If you're in a position of financial gain, don't be greedy. And don't make more than what you need. Be content with what you have, with what you earn, and with what you will receive in the future." One day, a rich young man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what must I do to live the kind of life that you are always talking about?" And Jesus responded, "Why are you asking me this? God has already told you the best way to live. Just follow the commandments." "Which ones?" the young man inquired. Jesus replied, "Don't murder, don't cheat, don't steal, don't lie. Honor your parents and love your neighbors as yourself." The young man asked, "I've done all of that. What's left? What am I lacking?" "If you want to fully experience the life I give," said Jesus, "go sell your possessions. Give everything away to those in need. If you do that, you'll more fully experience the kind of life that I'm talking about, the kingdom of God here on earth." That was the very last thing the young man expected to hear. And so, disappointed, he walked away. He was holding on tight to a lot of things. He couldn't bear to let go of them. A word from our Holy Scripture. Thanks be to God.
You see, the place that we live is a two-bedroom condo, and despite it only being at the time just the two of us, our possessions, well, they were certainly numerous, always increasing year after year, and it was clear that in order to more fully embrace the new life lying just ahead, we would first have to leave some things behind. And so we let go of books, almost 1,000, and countless bags of clothing, even some favorite games and more. Out the door they went, those things that seemed so precious once before, those things that we'd held on to in our house and had to store. Well, now something greater was in store, and we did not want anything to hold us back. We did not want to be held back by all the other things that we were holding on to. It's incredible, isn't it? All the things that we hold on to. According to author Shannon Hayes, new houses today have three times the closet space of a typical 1950s home. And yet, nonetheless, countless North Americans own so many things that they actually pay extra to hold on to them. Believe it or not, the self-storage industry has now officially grown bigger than the entire North American music industry, bringing in approximately $12 billion a year. Just self-storage. Not only that, even the act of organizing our stuff, of somehow keeping our numerous possessions in a semblance of control, has also itself become a profitable market. For example, there's a fairly recent show on Netflix, maybe you've seen it, called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. Has anybody here heard of it? A few nodding heads. If you haven't, the show revolves around this master organizer, Marie Kondo, going into other people's homes and helping them to tidy up, to organize, to clear the clutter of all the things that fill their homes in order for them to live a more fulfilling, freeing life. Part of Marie Kondo's famous method for helping participants wade through their stuff is asking them, what brings you joy? Does this bring you joy? This shirt, this vase, this piece of memorabilia? Does it truly bring you joy? If not, Marie Kondo insists, you need to let it go. But on every installment of the show, even though they know they need to, people struggle to heed Marie Kondo's advice. They think twice about the choice between the far greater life that could lie ahead and the many things that they are holding on to instead. I'm guessing that many of us might be able to relate. For just like the rich young man in our scripture reading, even if we aren't quite rich ourselves, we too are holding on tightly to a lot of things, and we can't bear to let them go. Now, part of that comes from the pervasive and constant consumeristic messaging around us proclaiming that living with less also means living less of a life. But both John the Baptist and Jesus argue precisely the opposite. Actually, they say, living with less means more of a life, the richer kind of life that all of us were created for and called to embody as disciples. The rich young man asks Jesus, how can I live the kind of life that you are always talking about? What am I lacking? But it wasn't about what he was lacking, was it? It was more about what he wouldn't let go. If you want to fully experience the life I can give, replied Jesus, go sell your possessions, give to those in need. If you do that, you'll more fully experience the kind of life I'm talking about. The kingdom of heaven here on earth. And to the crowd that asked, what should we do? John the Baptist responded, the person with two coats should share with the person that has none, and the one that has food to spare should also do the same. Be content with what you have, and with what you earn, and with what you will receive in the future. Both of our readings, the call from John the Baptist and the encounter of Jesus with the rich young man, illuminate, proclaim how anything that we hold on to tightly, anything that we hold on to tightly, also holds us back from embracing a bigger way of living, a far more faithful, faith-filled, fulfilling new life. A few years ago, I heard Rob Bell tell the story of one day going to the beach with his son. And he watched his little boy run across the shore, excitedly picking up all sorts of broken seashells, building up a small collection in his tiny two hands. And then, in the distance, just offshore, Rob Bell recounts how his son saw a starfish. His eyes lit up, his smile widened, wow! And Rob Bell watched for almost minutes on end. His son looked down at his hands full of shells and look out at the starfish. Look down at his hands, look out at the starfish, painfully caught between the choice of holding on to what he had or being free to touch, to grasp, to even just come close to something far greater. And the rich young man walked away disappointed. He was holding on tight to a lot of things, and he couldn't bear to let them go. which begs the question, how will we go from here? Perhaps as followers of Jesus, it's not so much asking ourselves the famous Marie Kondo question, what brings me joy? Maybe the more helpful, more faithful question for us might be, what joy can I bring to others? Does this thing bring me joy? Or could this same thing bring joy to someone else? Find out how much God has given you, wrote St. Augustine, and from it take what you need, for the remainder can be used by others. Elsewhere in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus also said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures of a different kind, treasures of an eternal kind, things that neither moth nor rust destroy, nor that thieves can break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When my wife and I got rid of boxes of books and bags of clothing and so many more possessions in order to prepare for the arrival of our baby, I truly thought that it'd be harder. I thought that I would dearly miss the things I'd left behind. Not so. In a way, they were now out of sight and out of mind, but even more, my heart and mind were elsewhere, invested in a different sort of treasure for the new life in front of me, eventually, literally, but also in the larger sense of living, was far greater than anything, any thing that I'd let go of and left behind. In a way, that's what we find in this invitation from Jesus and this admonition of John the Baptist, the belief that not only do most of our things not fulfill, they actively distract and detract us from what will. For all of us, a richer, more meaningful life can be in store, one where more is less, and less is truly more. So, church, my hope for us all is that we won't hold on to so many of the things that hold us back, but that we will instead bravely let go and more fully embrace the far greater life that lies in wait, the kind of life that Jesus is always talking about, the kingdom of heaven, here on earth. Thanks be to God.